Joint and several liability and what that means to you and your finances on this episode of Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. Welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. I'm your purveyor of prosperity and host, Heather Wagenhals. And on this episode, I'm making success simple by giving you the tools you need to understand joint and several liability and how it can affect you and your financial obligations and, more importantly, your financial future. So we've heard of this term. Perhaps we've heard of joint and several liability in the past. Maybe we have an experience with it directly and understand it as a concept, but perhaps we don't. And maybe it's been cloaked for us to sugarcoat us accepting joint and several liability. So joint and several liability is when two or more people obligate themselves, at least in lender speak. There's other legal speak that it has to deal with, but in lender speak, joint and several liability has to do with when two or more people borrow money together. They are each liable for half, and as they're severally liable based on their percentage of borrowing, but they are also jointly liable for the other's obligations. So while there's, in the example of two people, 50-50, right? However, if there is a default, regardless of who's responsible for the default, who stopped making payments, you, as one of the parties, are fully liable for the full amount. This is a phrase that's in almost every lending agreement out there. And if you don't believe me, just start checking your own. So if you co-borrow with anybody, and this starts out from something simple like a credit card, all the way up through the different types of loans to asset-backed loans. You are both jointly and severally liable for your percentage as well as the entire amount. And you're saying, okay, well, whatever, I hear that. Why is that important? The reason why that's important is when it comes to your financial future. If you have a co-borrowed situation, where you have borrowed money with someone else, even if every payment's been made on time, even if there's no likelihood of the payments not being made on time going forward, you know, assuming it's one of those zero risk loans where you have all the money to make the payments for the life of the loan in the bank, let's just say you have that too. That's not what counts. When you go to apply for leverage, especially when you're trying to apply for investment leverage, like you want to buy an investment property. That amount, that total debt amount, and that monthly payment is going to be subtracted from your debt ratios as far as affordability is calculated. So if, say, for example, I'm just going to pull this number out of the air because it's going to be able to be used for math purposes. If the payment is $100 for whatever this co-borrowed amount is, you're going to have $100 in lower affordability when they calculate your debt ratios. And the reason why is because if the other person of the two or more party obligation defaults, it's going to be up to you to continue to make those payments. And so I, as the new lender, thinking like an underwriter, would say, okay, how much can I lend this person comfortably knowing that they have all of these debts? And yes, this is a joint debt with somebody else, but if that other person defaults, you are still responsible. And can I lend you this money confidently if I know that you have, might get stuck with this payment? So I am going to deduct that from your affordability. So the amount of money that I'll lend you will be commensurately lower because of this co-borrowed situation. So you're probably thinking to yourself, you know what? I haven't co-borrowed with anybody for anything. I shouldn't be dinged on this. And here comes my favorite little phrase that is the most manipulative phrase in the entire world. And you need to delete this phrase from your vocabulary. And when you hear it for someone, especially when they're trying to suck you into doing it, the answer is no. It's always no. And we'll talk about the bigger ramifications and more philosophical ones in a moment. But the phrase cosine. Oh, I hate this phrase. It is the worst phrase ever. And it's a way for people to soft pedal what they're about to ask you to do for them. It's what it is. It's a soft pedal. Hey, mom, can you co-sign for me to buy this car? Hey, dad, I need you to co-sign for you to borrow for me to go to school and get a student loan. Hey, can you co-sign for me to get this house? Or whatever the ridiculous co-sign request is for. There is no such thing as co-signing. And people, the understood portion of a co-signer is someone that agrees to pay for the debt if the other person defaults, the primary borrower. But there's no such thing as this because you are effectively a co-borrower. Read the lending agreement. Read the promissory note that you are about to sign. That's why they request all of your income and assets, depending on the type of loan that someone is asking you to co-borrow on. And it's a significant thing because not only do you have to qualify, meaning demonstrate your ability to repay this note if they default, because that's what you're agreeing to do, but you are wholly responsible for this amount today. And you have to think in terms of an underwriter if the tables were turned. If I came to you and I said I wanted to borrow money and I wanted to borrow X amount of money, and you say, okay, well, who else do you owe? And I just tell you that I only owe like three people, but I've actually co-signed for all six of my children to buy homes and cars and all kinds of stuff. At any point, any of them can default. If I don't disclose that to you and I borrow money from you and then they default, now I have to start making their payments, what's the likelihood I'm going to pay you back? Give you a little bit more time to think about that. It's pretty slim, isn't it? Because I'm going to what? Help out my family first, right? And I've committed to that before I committed to borrow money from you. So that's what we have to pay attention to. So there's no such thing as co-signing. Just delete that phrase from your vocabulary. And then when you do hear that phrase, you need to think of it like a profane term, like somebody is swearing at you. And if somebody comes to you with a co-signing request, the answer is no, not now, not ever. I am not your resource. You need to figure out another way to make whatever you want happen. Now you have to encourage that person to put on their thinking cap and be resourceful. You cannot be the default go-to for your children, for your siblings, for your parents, for whomever. You are responsible for your life. Everyone is responsible for their individual life. We all come into this world wet, naked, and alone. And although we may have traveling companions along the way, we are responsible for ourselves and anyone we bring into the world until they're of legal capacity to take care of themselves. And capacity is not always willingness, as you've probably experienced in your lifetime if you were more than 25 years old. So what we have to remember is when we co-sign or we co-borrow, we are actually committing ourselves to the same debt. Why does this matter? Well, in the case of death or dissolution of a marriage or an estate, you're going to have some ramifications to this. So if you are in a community property state, you may even be obligated for debts that you didn't incur jointly. But you are wholly responsible for the debts that you incurred jointly. So if someone passes and you have joint credit with them, those debts aren't going to go away with them. And if their estate can't cover it, guess what? You get to pick up the difference. So we must be very, very careful and judicious when it comes to go borrowing with people. Another reason why we want to make sure that we are co-borrowing effectively is what happens to our financial future. If you have co-borrowed with others, you're trying to help that, you know, lackluster sibling get back on their feet for the 300th time because they can't seem to get it together. And this time you were the sibling that they hoodwinked into it. When you go to apply for, say, leverage for you to maybe have investment real estate or other investment properties, things that you can use to make money and build wealth for yourself, that amount that you co-borrowed for is now going to hurt you because it's going to reduce your affordability. You may not be currently making this payment. So you technically don't have that amount of your income gone. You actually have that amount of your income available, but according to an underwriter, they must count that debt against you. And when they do, it's going to reduce your affordability by whatever that calculated amount of that payment represents in borrowed money. And this is why you have to really seriously consider when you go to co-borrow with people. Why am I doing this? Who is this benefiting? If you are not a part of the answer, don't do it. Under no circumstances, leverage yourself on behalf of others because it cuts your ability to build your wealth. And again, who is responsible for you in this lifetime? Oh, that would be you. So you must take care of you first. Build wealth for you first. And then after you are taken care of, you might consider, I didn't say do, but consider the opportunity to co-borrow or to help others. But you have to ask yourself, am I really helping them or am I perpetuating something else and that I am going to have to play cleanup for? And those are very real concerns. And that's why you want to be very, very careful and judicious when you lend your good name, because that's what you're doing. When you co-borrow with somebody, you're lending up the good character you built up by making payments on time. Okay? And these are things that you have to explore because these affect all areas of your personal finances. So if they do default, now you're making payments on a debt that you didn't get any benefit from. Okay? So now that you've done that part, so now you're wasting money every month to preserve your good name that you didn't muddy. So we got to think about that. So when we consider the option of co-borrowing, we have to make sure that we put ourselves first. So our fast facts for today's episode for this Money Monday is co-signing is not, it's a fake term. You need to think in terms of co-borrowing and think of it as a profanity or a swear word when someone uses it around you. Understand that you are responsible for the entire amount when you co-borrow with somebody, not just your initial agreed portion between that individual and yourself that you co-borrowed with. You got to understand that it materially affects your affordability for the duration of that note. And through death, you may still be responsible for that. This is why it's so important that we do our 3-5 financial philosophy and we take and we carefully look at that fifth area of concern, which is estates, because we need to understand how someone else's estate that we've co-borrowed with affects our financial future. Because again, joint and several liability is what it is. And just because you don't understand it doesn't mean you're not obligated to it, because when you sign a contract, you are essentially saying, I am agreeing to these terms, whether or not you've read it, whether or not it's in your primary language, whether or not you really agree. If your signature ends up on there and you put it on there, guess what? You are now responsible. So thank you so much for stopping by today's episode. Freedom Fest is less than a month away. Visit my website at unlockyourwealth.com/Freedom Fest to get your special discount for Unlock Your Wealth fans and join me at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas, Nevada, July 13th through the 16th. And we are going to have an incredibly fun time. It is the largest liberty and economic conference in the world, and it's the most amazing place where you can have an incredible exchange of ideas, learn about how to preserve and protect your liberty and your wealth, and meet some fantastic people along the way. Dr. Drew is our headliner. In addition, we have Steve Forbes, Dr. Mark Skousen, the Way of the Renaissance Man, Jim Woods, and yours truly is speaking on the business and entrepreneurship track. So I would love to have you come join me. So click on the link at unlockyourwealth.com/freedomfest and get your Unlock Your Wealth fan discount right now. For the maestro of moolah, Michael Terry, I'm Heather Wagenhoff. Now go out and unlock your wealth today.
UnlockYourWealthToday.com is produced by Heather Wagenhoff and the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. UnlockYourWealthToday.com and its affiliates are copyrighted 2018 with all rights reserved. For more information on the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series, please visit our website at www.unlockyourwealthtoday.com.